following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord, we're so thankful that we can be here together tonight. We're thankful, Lord, that we have this a portion of our text, Lord, how exciting this is to be in this particular place at this particular time, Lord, that we get to talk about these things, about being prepared, about being ready, about paying attention, Lord, and just how our lives affect other people. I thank you, Lord, and we do pray, Father, for our country. We pray, God, that you would touch our leaders. We pray, Lord, that we as a country would stop calling sin a weakness or an inconsistency or any other name, Lord, but that we would call it what it is so that you can deal with it, Lord, and we can repent and we can move forward. And I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. You are loving, you are kind, you are gentle. Thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed our hearts, Lord, and you have made us new. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who were here on Easter Sunday, did you all come on Easter Sunday? Everybody was at one of the services on Easter Sunday. Bill talked about Elizabeth J., who we did the funeral for, and just how neat it really was that she gets to go and be with the Lord, 93 years old, and last year when she was 92, she went up in a hot air balloon. Hi they, but just so I have a friend who has invited me to go with her in a hot air balloon, so we'll pray about that and see what happens. But she always sat in this chair right here, and this morning this chair was completely empty. Nobody took up that chair, and it was really special to remember what this woman was like. I mean, she was the one who, you know, made the phone calls to everybody on their birthday and sang them that special song, not the regular happy birthday that we're used to, but a really special song for just them, and just a wonderful woman who made a real impact in this world. She was not content for people to just be saved. You know what I'm talking about? People who just, yeah, I'm saved, yeah. I'm living for myself, but I know that I'm saved. I accepted Jesus, but I'm living for myself now. She wasn't content with that. She would do war. She would go to war, to battle, every day for the souls of men and women that she knew, and particularly of her family. And she would put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and the belt of truth, and her feet were always shod with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what she did every day. And most of us go, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Well, let's pray. You know, when you're feeling bored, I don't know what I got. There's nothing for me to pray. And then we'll see what God will do with that, with a life that is touching other people's lives in that way. And so I'm so excited that I noticed in my notes when I printed them out that I had written it on 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But it's only in the printing of the title. I did study the proper one this time. So, and we want to remember, I know you all have your Bibles open to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, and we remember about the offering, why it was being taken. You remember that the people in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, were very poor. They were going through a drought. They had nothing, and there they were in need, and the Corinthians had opportunity and had made a commitment to help them out. And so this would be a real opportunity for the Gentile Christians to get together to minister to the Jewish Christians that were there in Jerusalem. It was a real opportunity to show them what it was like to be in a family, to keep that fellowship flowing. The Corinthians had committed themselves, like I said, to providing for the needs of the church in Jerusalem and to taking up this offering. And that's where this chapter begins that talking about all of that. And so now concerning verse 1, the ministry, ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Now, I wanted to read that just because I can actually pronounce that word without stuttering. I was so excited when I figured every time I use it, I actually get it out the right way. But he was saying, it goes without saying how important you guys are. How all of you have ministered. When it comes to ministering, we know we can depend on you guys to be there and to do what you've said that you would do. And so he was excited about that. In verse 2, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. You are so excited about giving, he's saying to the Corinthians. You were so excited about it that it got everybody else excited. You know when you go and do something and it's really, really fun to do, and you go, oh yeah, you got to do that, like going up in a hot air balloon. And everybody thinks you're crazy, but you're so excited about it. And they go, I want to go do that. I want to go do that thing. It looks like a lot of fun. It's not something I would have thought of on my own, but I'm so excited about it. And they were making people excited about ministering to one another. What do I make people excited about? Do I make them excited about only a hot air balloon ride? Or do I make them excited about ministering to someone else besides themselves? Because we all take a lot of time to minister to ourselves, don't we? We all take a lot of time on this, and this takes a lot of time to keep together, I'm telling you. But, by the way, this is sea glass. This is sea glass that was found on the East Coast, and we gave it to a guy who works over at Pete's. His name is Stephen, and because we gave him some of the sea glass, he made this for me. And isn't this just so beautiful? Cast off glass that has changed its consistency, it's changed its feel, it's almost like it's born again, you know? It's something brand new from what it originally was. But how did it get that way? It got that way, it got pushed back and forth through the sand, back and forth, in and out, in the water. It got buried, it got raised up, it got buried, got raised up. And just the neatness of this, when you hold this one up to the light, you can see that it's an amber glass. And it might even, you know, who knows, it might have been a beer bottle. But look at how it's transformed. Look how it's transformed. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to transform us, make us new, make us something that people look at and go, wow. I love her. I love that. I don't know that you like to be called that, but, you know, being excited. And so, verse 3, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of their confident boasting. Unprepared. That word, unprepared, just jumped out at me. Unprepared. Are we unprepared? God is telling us, ladies, that we are to be prepared. Now, I had vowed that I was not going to listen to the morning news on Tuesday mornings because it got me so riled up every Tuesday morning that I'm just not going to listen to it anymore. But this morning I listened to it. You know, commitment. Oh, well, to that was okay. But as I was listening to it, and they were talking about North Korea, and I just thought, oh, Lord, I know that we live in the last days, and I know that you said some things to prepare us. And one of the things that you said was that there would be wars and things like North Korea, that is a rumor of war right now. We don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. None of us do. I don't think that even the leader of North Korea knows what's going to happen. But we live in the last days. We need to be prepared. Now, those of you who were at the Jesus spoke to us that we are to be prepared. At our retreat, when we did our Keep Calm and Carry On, the Lord gave us a word, and he told us that we were to be prepared for the things that were coming, the things that would come upon us. And he told us in a very clear way how to be prepared. And he said, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, if you are new here, you might not know that we pray for our nation at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening. All of us do that, right? All of us do that. We take that moment and we stop, just a moment. Stop what you're doing just a moment and pray for our nation. Imagine what God could do if all of us collectively were praying, agreeing with one another about what the nation, the changes of the nation should be. And what he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is, if my people who are called by my name, he's speaking to Christians. He is speaking to Christians. And later on in here, you'll see, you'll be reminded, he was talking to his own family. He was talking to the family of God. And he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, let go of that pride, let go of that arrogance, let go of that I can do it myself attitude, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Kids who still play hide and seek. Kids hide in the most interesting places, and you look under everything as you're looking for them with hide and seek. You're seeking them, and you lift up all the things, and you look under baskets, and you really look for them. That's what it means to seek his face. Really look for him. Look for him in what is going on. When you are praying, after you've humbled yourself, seek his face. And then it says, remember he's talking to Christians. Remember he's talking to his own family of people. And he says, turn from their wicked ways. We are to turn from our wicked ways. The wicked ways, what are they? I don't know. What is it for you? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But all of us probably have some area that is a challenge in our life. No matter how long we've walked with the Lord, there's a challenge there, and we need to deal with it. And God says that we are to turn from our wicked ways so that he can hear from heaven and heal our land. So we are to be prepared in that way. There's another story about some people being prepared, and it is in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And I'll try to just go over it briefly so it doesn't get too long tonight. But the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. The 5 that were wise, well, actually, all of them started out really good. All of them started out with their lamps filled with oil. All of them started out with the wicks trimmed. All of them had a great start. But the 5 who were wise took care of that lamp every day. It says in verse 5 that they all slumbered and slept while the bridegroom delayed. It just simply means that they were at peace. They were walking as if everything was okay. Everything's fine. We're just waiting for the bridegroom. And so those 5 wise ones kept up every day. They made sure that that lamp was filled with oil, made sure that that wick was trimmed. But the 5 foolish, oh, I'm so busy. There's no way that I can get to the store and get enough oil for today. Oh, my goodness. I just have so much to do. I can't get around to that. I just am never going to make that happen. I just won't. Does it remind you of anybody you know when it comes to reading the Word of God or praying? They were the 5 foolish who didn't take care of what God had given them to take care of. And so it says then that the bridegroom came, and you know, some of them were probably saying, well, you know, I know my friend, my sister, she's always prepared. She always has more than she needs. So if anything happens, if anything comes up, I know I can get some oil from her, and everything will be fine. But then the bridegroom comes. And they're, the five foolish are going, oh, we don't have enough oil. Oh, please, please give us some oil to help us to fill our lamps. But the five wise said, I can't do that. I only have enough for myself. And that's what it is with salvation. I can't save anybody else. I can't give anybody else my salvation. They have to take it upon themselves to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and walk with Him to have that salvation. And then the foolish ones went out to buy more oil because they weren't prepared. They weren't prepared, even though they had been taught to be prepared. They got too busy to be prepared. And then it says that as they went out and while they were went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. You know, in weddings that you go to, I don't know if they really practice as much anymore, but once the bride has entered the aisle, no one else is supposed to come in to the room. No one else is supposed to come in to watch the wedding or anything. You're late for a wedding. I'm sorry, the bride's gone in. You can't be an attendee to it. And that's what it was. The door was shut. And then came afterwards, the other virgins came along saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and he said to them, Assuredly, I say to you, I didn't know you. What? What do you mean you didn't know me? You know me. You know me. You know I accepted the Lord all those years ago, and you know who I am. But I don't recognize you. I don't remember spending any time with you. I don't recognize you. You weren't prepared. You can't come in. Watch, therefore, it says in verse 13, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We do not know when the Lord Jesus Christ will come for us. We do not know when that rapture is going to take place. And we do not have the opportunity or the privilege or any other word that you want to use to be able to say, I'll get ready as the time comes. Because none of us can get ready in the twinkling of an eye. I can't do anything in just a blink of an eye. A twinkling of the eye is faster than that. We won't have time at the last moment. And there are all those jokes of grabbing somebody's hand and saying to them, you want to get saved or do I let go? When you're going up to be with the Lord, you know. Okay. Thought I'd lighten it up a little bit, but didn't work. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his beloved. He is coming for those who love his appearing, who are prepared for his appearing. And we need to be in that place. So we need to watch and to pray. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, verse 5, to go to you ahead of time, and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised. You said you were going to do it, and I know you were going to do it, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Have you ever... Paul is saying, I don't want you guys to be caught off guard. And I don't know, most of you in here probably do all the digital stuff now, and you haven't written a check in a while. But have you ever in your lifetime been in a situation where you've written a check for a good amount of money for someone who did some work for you, and you told them, I need you to go ahead, get this check cashed. I know I have the money in the bank, so go ahead and cash the check so that you get your money. And they go, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that, and they don't. And then all of a sudden, one day, a few months later, they decide, I'm going to go cash that check. Well, I'm not paying it, or that the person that I'm talking about is not paying attention to their statements and not realizing that this money has not come out. And then all of a sudden, here comes the check. because I've been going ahead and just living life, you know, doing things as I should be doing them and paying bills and going on. And all of a sudden, the check comes through and there's not money to take care of it. How embarrassing. How sad. Being unprepared. A reminder. In John 14, 29, Jesus said, "I have told you before it comes, that when it does come, you may believe, that you won't be fooled." Jesus himself said, "I've told you these things beforehand, so that when they come upon you, you are not taken by them. You are not fooled by them." We won't be fooled by false prophets. We won't be fooled by someone else who says, "No, it's really this way." Because Jesus himself has told us. He's told us. He told us beforehand. It's like when your parents said, "Don't go across the street until you've looked both ways. Because this is what will happen. This could happen." And you take heed to that. And you don't cross the street without looking both ways. Because when you go to Australia, you tend to look the wrong way every time. But, which I did and almost got hit. But you're prepared because you've been told what will happen if you do this. If you do this, this is what will happen. If you don't do this, this is what won't happen. And so being prepared and being told beforehand. In verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God loves a cheerful giver. Jesus sowed all of himself. He sowed all of himself. Can I do any less? There's an advertisement on right now. It happens to be for Union Bank, which I'm pretty impressed with some of their commercials right now. But it's Maya Angelou, and she said, "If you are kind and thoughtful," and I don't know that these are the right words, "but if you're kind and thoughtful and loving, you are known by these things. And if you are not, you are also known by that." So we are known by the things that we sow. We are known by those things that we put in the ground. The things that we sow. Will we sow bountifully? Will we sow sparingly? Grain falls into the ground, and it has to die before it can be raised up into many things. And here you all have heard the illustration, the little kernel of corn. And you take that one little kernel of corn, and you put it in the ground, and you cover it up, and you water it, and you take care of it, and all of a sudden you have this plant that grows up, and it doesn't produce one kernel of corn. It produces ears of corn that have a number of grain on it. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, but those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. So what am I sowing? What am I sowing in this world? When I said that Jesus sowed his whole life, he laid down his whole life to be buried, that it might rise again into newness of life. Can I do anything less but to lay down my whole life for others? Can I do anything less but to live for others rather than living for myself? Or will I continue to sow sparingly, wondering why I can't make things happen right? Why won't those people be nice to me? Well, that's what you sowed. That's what you're going to get. You treat people like that, they're going to treat you like that. Well, the Corinthians were sowing abundantly. They were sowing abundantly. And there would come a time when the Greeks would need the help themselves. You look at the Greek nation today, they need a little help financially in the same way. In verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for what? For every good work. Not an abundance for the new house, not an abundance for the new car, not an abundance for the me and for me and for me and then what about me, you know? But an abundance for good works. It's not to say that those things are bad, that you shouldn't use your money for that. I'm not saying that. But what will we do with what God gives us, the abundance that he gives us? Abundance and all sufficiency in all things for the purpose of good works. Abundance is different in all of our minds. How much does it take for me to feel like I need for myself to have enough to start giving to others? How much is abundance to me? How much does it take before I decide, yes, now I can give to others? You know, I'm not talking about going into debt to give to others. I'm talking about the simplicity of allowing myself to maybe sacrifice something so that I can give to somebody else. I don't know. I know you guys in here know what it is to give. Every one of you. I've seen you at work with the Lord working through every one of you. Abundance. Abundance for every good work. As it is written, verse 9, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of righteousness. And increase the fruits of righteousness. May the one who provides for you increase for you, not your income, but your fruits of your righteousness. The fruits of your righteousness. Increase in the fruits of your righteousness. Increase in the fruits of your right standing with God. Isaiah 55:10, for the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but I shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. His word never returns void. Now, I don't know how many of you were here the Wednesday night that Bill asked me to come up and share something that I had shared at the When Leaders Lead. But as I was preparing to get ready to teach, God really put on my heart. They were offering this. Have I already told you guys about this? This thing that a computer program that will do everything for you. I didn't tell you guys about that? Okay. So this computer program will bring up any translation. It'll bring up the history. It will bring up the Greek pronunciation. It will bring up everything that you could ever want by one click. Will bring it all up for you, and there it is right there. And I think it's a great idea. I think it's wonderful, and we should use it if you're so prone to do that. But I want to tell you one thing, that you need to be into this word, and you need to be searching this word, and you need to know, I need to know, well, I can't remember exactly where that scripture is, but I know it's on the left-hand side of the, towards the bottom of that page. In that, I know what book it's in, and you know, it's that remembering, or what do we call that? Oh, Memorizing. Yes. But what would happen if your cell phone was gone and your iPad was gone and your computer, your anything electronic that looks up everything for you? What if the electricity went off? And it wasn't like Revolution where they have the little pennant and they're, yeah, we can make this come back on. What if? What if you couldn't have this anymore? What if they said, you can't own one of those books? What if it was all lost in a fire and it was just gone? I know where it is on the page, but I can't remember where it's at in the book. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I do believe that God is calling us to memorize. Here's some things that we'll do. When you need a scripture, he'll be able to bring it to your remembrance. He can't bring something to your remembrance that you've never put there. He will comfort you with those words. It will bring you strength. It will bring you courage. It will bring you things that you never know you knew that you needed. All because you've hidden the word of God in your heart. This is a place where no one can take it away. What if you still had this book, but you became blind and deaf? What would you do? Hide the word of God in your heart now while you have the chance. We don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us do. And you know what? The other thing is that when you memorize, it helps you stave off the brain not working, whatever that word is. She's up here feeding me all kinds of words from anything. But you know, when your mind forgets a lot of things and you don't know what a fork is, you know, you can't remember what that piece of silverware is. And Alzheimer's, yes. When we memorize, it helps to stave off Alzheimer's. So memorize. What better thing to memorize than the Word of God? But even if you forgot things, even if you did get somewhat of Alzheimer's, you would still remember. It would be there because you had planted it there. And it would take root. And it'll change our lives if we will simply do that. Begin to memorize. And I know a lady who is here in the church who is right now memorizing Psalm 119. And she's halfway through it. And she can, just like that, speak it off to you. And she's older than me. So I can't use the excuse, I'm too old to memorize. I don't want to memorize. You know, well, you start off memorizing your own phone number. That would be a good thing. But, you know, you can memorize the Word of God. Put it in your heart. And so that has really just, that's just a word from the Lord. And that's and what has to do with what this particular text that we're in right now in verse 10 is Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Break up that ground that's just so hard, that bitter heart of ours, that hardness of heart. Break it up, chop it up, get it soft again. Break up that fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Rains righteousness on you. I love that verse. Right next to that verse, I have in my Bible, the Lord pointed it out to me at a heart-to-heart retreat in 2003. And that, I love putting those dates in my Bible so that I can look at, oh, yeah, oh, that's what was going on. Oh, yeah, I remember that was going on. I remember what the Lord did. And isn't that just like David? He said, when he got down, he said, I will remember, I will remember, I will remember the goodness of the Lord. I will remember what he's done for us. And then we go on to, he will rain down righteousness on you while you were enriched in everything, verse 11, for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service, the administration, you actually doing it, of this service, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. You guys are causing people to give thanksgiving to God. He's telling the Corinthians, because of what you're doing here, you're causing other people to offer up thanksgiving to God. You are telling them how great God is. You are showing them how great God is. And you are causing not only us to be thankful, not only the people in Jerusalem to be thankful, but you are causing all those who see what's going on to be thankful. You are causing unbelievers to thank God for someone like you who would put forth the necessities of the saints, the necessities of someone else. This world is watching us, ladies. This world wants what we have if we will live like Christ has us to live, sowing abundantly so that we might reap abundantly. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. The grace of God shows up in us. And it shows up in the way that we treat one another, the way we speak of one another, the way that we pray for one another, the way that we care for one another. The grace of God shows in the way that we live our lives. What can I do that says it's for you? When will I stop living for myself? And my very favorite today, my very favorite scripture today is verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life. What was indescribably delicious back in the day? There was some commercial that said, it's indescribable. Almond joy, indescribably delicious. Oh, doesn't even hold a candle to this gift that God has given us. It's so sweet what God has given us, the sweetness of his spirit, the comfort of who he is. What God has given to us, let's sow it abundantly into the people's lives that we can touch. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the way that you have ministered to us tonight. Lord, the things that you have spoken to us and the way that you have worked in our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have loved us with that everlasting love and that you have drawn us by that love. Father, that you have given us that peace that surpasses all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in you. When the world is falling apart and people's hearts are failing them for fear, Lord, we have the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, you have given us far beyond what we deserve. And Lord, we want to be people that are givers in every way. Lord, these ladies have given so much of themselves so many times. And Lord, I know that you're blessing them for that. I know, Lord, that as they seek your face and turn from any wicked ways, Lord, that you'll hear from heaven, you'll heal our land just like you promised you would. Lord, if we will pray, if we will seek your face, if we will humble ourselves, Lord, you will do a mighty work. You will do a miracle. I know you can do it. I know you will do it, Lord. Our trust is in you. And even when our circumstances say something totally different, Lord, our trust is still in you. Our faith is in you. You will do a work in our time that we would not believe, even though it were told to us. We are thankful, Lord. We pray for this nation to turn around, Lord. I pray for every person that calls themselves a Christian that lives in these United States, Lord, to begin to live like a Christian. Lord, to repent of the wicked ways. Lord, to stop calling sin a weakness or some kind of a disease or whatever, Lord, to just call it what it is so that it can be repented of, so that they can be set free, Lord. Please use us in whatever way you can, Lord, to make a difference in the world that we live in today, to bring many to your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up. Wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com. Or call 714-891-9495.